good to see all you who have come out tonight to participate in this gospel meeting. I do hope and pray that the lessons that we have studied so far will be edifying to everyone, helping us understand what the will of the Lord is and how that we need to be obedient to God if we want to be saved. A lot of members of the Lord's church today don't see the need to want to come out doing gospel meetings anymore. There was a time when a gospel meeting was in the area, the building was so packed that they didn't have room to seat the people. You don't see that happening today. Some of my brothers now are having gospel meetings on weekends now. They call it a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Some do it only one day. Seems like brothers are getting away from that, but I'm glad that you, brethren, the elders here, saw the need to have two meetings a year so that people can be edified and they'll get a chance to hear preachers preach the word of God. Well, our subject tonight is dealing with praise teams. Now, what does the Bible teach about praise teams? Well, there's nothing wrong with praising God through song and prayer, because the Bible teaches that. But when it comes to praise teams, I believe there's no scriptural authority for such. And as we search God's word here tonight, we'll see that it is wrong. Now, the theme for the rest of this week is going to be innovations. We're going to be looking at innovations because innovations are very important. Innovations are good for some things. But when it comes to God's word, we don't need to do it. We need to stick to what the scriptures teach and abide in what God's word teaches, without going outside of the Bible. It is getting to the point now that our brethren today, some of our brethren, are trying to model themselves after denominational churches. That's exactly what's happened. That's where the praise team comes from. It did not come from the New Testament. You don't read of it in the New Testament. So where did it come from? It came from brethren copying off of denominational churches. I went on the website this morning, and I punched in praise team. Guess what I saw? I saw nothing but denominational churches, praise team, Lutheran church, praise team, Roman Catholic church, all these churches, praise team. Then all of a sudden I saw Church of Christ, and I saw several congregations involving themselves in praise team. And so I decided to look at the website a little bit, and I got a little sick on my stomach. I saw brethren playing instruments, about five or six people playing instruments for the church. And this is what it leads to. You open up a little hole, it's going to turn into a giant hole. That's what happens. And that's why we have to have book, chapter, and verse for everything that we do when it comes to worship service. In the past few years, an increasing number of congregations have begun using praise teams during the worship services. The use of a praise team is one of the innovations that some congregations of the Lord's church have borrowed from, of course, denominations. It seems that whenever the denominations come up with something new, some congregations of the Lord's people quickly take them up without regard to whether they are authorized or not. The children of Israel in the days of Samuel, they wanted to be just like the nations around them, if you know anything about the Old Testament. You look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, and they wanted to be just like the people around them. Well, sadly, that is what is happening to some of our brethren even today. So we're going to look at this wonderful subject here dealing with this, and for the rest of the week we'll be looking at these different things as we go on in the rest of this lesson. That is what you call the praise team. You have five or six or eight brethren in the body of Christ. Some sing alto, bass, soprano. And what they do is they pick out the best singers in the congregation and they let them hold mics in their hands and they sing before the whole audience. Now, doesn't that sound a little bit like entertainment as you sit and listen to them sing? Yes, that's exactly what it is. It ends up being nothing but entertainment. Because when we sing to each other, we build one another up through songs and hymns and spiritual songs. That's what Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says. We teach one another. We edify one another. But there's no scriptural authority for anything such as praise teams. And so this had to come from denominational churches. And so let's look at a couple of things here concerning this. And I just mentioned all of this, so I'm going to my next point here. Let's look at what a praise team, what is a praise team? I just mentioned a little bit about it, but let's see what else we come up with. Well, what it is basically is it consists of a group of four, six, eight, or even more singers who lead the singing as a group. That's exactly what it is. Some have a dominant soprano voice as the primary leaders and the others serving supporting leaders and others serving as supporting leaders. You'll see a couple of misspelled words, but that's what it refers to, leaders. It's people taking a leadership position. I'm talking about sisters in the church taking a leadership position as they sing those songs and take a lead. We don't have that. We don't have any scriptural authority from God's word or any authorization from the word of God to do that. Others will have a blending group whereby three is in complete equality or equity with among the other participants in the group. In some congregations, the team is up to the stage or walks up to the stage by the pulpit or wherever they sit at or stand at, and they just sing for the audience. Now, the point behind this is to try to get the audience motivated for the worship service. We don't need no motivation like that that's unscriptural to get us ready for the worship service. Our hearts and minds should be ready when we come to worship service to worship God, as John 4:24 says, in spirit and truth. But with some brethren, that's not the case. They do this so that they can entertain those who are non-Christians as well as those who are in the Lord's church. And God's word doesn't teach that. And that's what makes it wrong in the sight of God. Let's notice something else here, too. I'll show you this part here that I mentioned there. And then let's notice something else here. Why use praise teams? Why do we need to use them in the first place? Why do we need them? And I got a quotation that I'm going to use here a little bit later in this lesson to show you what one brother in the church wrote in an article about where he worshiped at. And he's a lawyer and a Bible school teacher. And you'll be surprised what he said, and I'll read that later. But let's look at this here. Notice it might not, as you can see in the notes here, of course, I'm looking at the same thing that you're looking at here. And you'll notice it might be asked these congregations why. Now, this fellow by the name of L. Furr, if I pronounce his name right, he gave three reasons in an article titled Praise Teams Found on the Christian Home Site, in case you want to look it up. He gives brief discussions of each of these points, why he believes it should be done. Number one, first, it provides balance. That's what he says. Praise teams provide balance. When they're leading, they get everybody balanced in the audience. That's what he writes. Notice what he says. The traditional system of solo song leading actually provides leadership only for the soprano voice. In the additional system, the alto, the tenor, and the bass lack leadership. The praise team provides vocal leadership for all voices, all voice parts. And this enhances the coordination of the four part, makes it harmony, is what he says. Well, here's something else he says as well. This is the second point he makes here. Well, I skipped there. Let me go back. Now I got to figure out how to take this thing back. Let's see. Oh, I guess I did. There we go. Yeah. Well, that's the first one. Let me go ahead and get the second one here. These are certain reasons here, other reasons why he did this. But the point is, why serve praise team? I'm going to give you the other two points in a second. But why do it? Well, secondly, another reason why he preferred to have praise teams and say that it's okay. And he says there's nothing wrong with it in the sight of God. But he says praise teams provide a fast and efficient system for introducing new songs. Praise teams for new songs, to introduce new songs. A praise team can introduce a new song on Sunday morning, and most churches can quickly pick up the melody of the songs and join in the singing. Churches that do use praise teams have more complex and time-consuming tasks of bringing new songs into the assembly. That's a poor excuse for adding to God's word, isn't it? Well, that's what he says. Then thirdly, praise teams provide more general focal blend. The traditional system of solo songs leading provides a dominant voice for the soprano. Visitors often discover this if they arrive a few moments late in the public assembly. When they enter the foyer, they can hear the song leader's voice on the praise team system, or the PA system, excuse me. When a visitor arrives a few moments late in the assembly, led by the praise team, the visitor hears the balance of all the voice parts. Now, listen at that. Now, here's the point that I asked when I was putting this lesson together. Did you notice that Mr. Furr did not use any scriptural authority for that? Not none. Did you notice he didn't use none? He never made a reference to what the Bible says. Now, according to Colossians 3 and verse 17, and we're familiar with this text, this is one text that we use to show that when we do anything, it has to be done by the authority of Christ, by his authority. And if it's not, God is not pleased. This is Colossians 3 and 17. And in this text it says, and whatsoever ye do. Now notice he says, whatsoever ye do. in word. Word refers to preaching and teaching. Deed, that refers to our participating. Do all, not some, in the name, by the authority of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I believe Mr. Furr is not doing that because he never gave scriptural authority for what he believes. Where's the book, chapter and verse, as we used to say? Where's it found? We don't see it at all. Some praise teams do indeed position women in the position of leadership that is against the will of God, that we read this God's word teach against in the New Testament. And we're familiar with 1 Timothy because I'm sure you heard many lessons from preachers in the past and preachers even in the present that teach from the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2 about men taking a leadership position in the work of the church, not women. But sadly, brethren, and I watched a couple of people's faces yesterday kind of turn a little bit when they heard me mention that there are women now presiding over the Lord's table in the Lord's church. You say, wait a minute, such will never happen. Yes, it is. It's happening right now. There are sisters getting together, presiding over the Lord's table, standing up just like the men. Let us pray. They called out the old scriptures and everything else. There are sisters now who are taking the leadership position and giving announcements. When I was in institutionalism, and I was at one time for about 2 years, and I didn't know any better, there's sisters used to get up and read the announcement just like Don and others here do. And the brother never said anything. They just let them did it because they didn't see anything wrong with it. And they didn't know that if you let them take that leadership position, they're going to start taking other leadership positions. And so we have no scriptural authority for such. Some of them now are doing the preaching behind the pulpit. Yes, sir. They're doing that today in the Lord's church. Don't be surprised. It's happening right now. So some teams do indeed position women in the position of leadership. But 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8 says, I will therefore that men, and the Greek word for men here is andros, men, that's what it's talking about, men only, pray everywhere. And when he says everywhere, he means it. Everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath, and that means anger, and doubting, that means quarreling, by the way, or arguing or disputing. In like manner also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair, or some translations say braided hair, or gold or pearls or costly array, but which become of women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learned, of course, here, in silence, which is tranquility, causing no disturbance, in all subjection or submission. But I suffer not a woman to teach. He didn't say that they can't teach children, teach their husband, teach their relatives the gospel of Christ. It's talking about a leadership position in the Lord's church. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to exercise or usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And again, that's the same Greek word that's used earlier in this chapter. I don't read anywhere in this text. I never read in any of the letters that Paul sent to the churches when he wrote letters to his brethren, where any woman in the Lord's church took a leadership position. Oh, what about Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2? She was a deaconess. That's what some brethren are saying today. I'll never forget the phone call that I answered when I was at home a couple years ago. A family called me because they had a son that was going to attend one of the colleges in Little Rock in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And so they were trying to find a congregation for their son to go to. So the mother called me. And she said, I talked to her for a while and told her what we believe and everything. Then she said, I'm a deaconess, and I'd just like to know where my son would be attending at. And when she said deaconess, the red flag just went up. Deaconess? Now, we do have scriptural authority for deacons, don't we? Are there any scriptural authority or any qualification for a deaconess? No, they are not. God never had them. She was just a servant in the Lord's church. She was not a deaconess because the Bible doesn't speak of it. If God wanted us to know that, he would have told us. We have no scripture authority for that. But this is what some of our brethren are getting in today. They're doing this today. Romans chapter 16 again, verse 1 and 2. Read the verse. He talked about that sister there. And she just was a servant in the Lord's church. She was not a deacon. Because if she was, we need to find the qualifications for a female becoming a deaconess, as some of our brethren are now doing. Well, let's get back to the praise team here. Notice also that he also believed that praise teams are only found in large congregations. What about praise teams for a little congregation that might have 30 or 40 members? He said large congregations only. He didn't say anything about small congregations. Brother Furr and other brethren who believe in praise teams are not far from having what? Choirs, performers. Now, I was in the group singer group. I was in the group singing group when I first obeyed the gospel in 1976. I was in Job Corps. And when I found out that they had one, I wanted to become a member of it. I wanted to be part of that group that was singing. But you know what? At the time, I didn't know that there was no scriptural authority for such. I thought it was okay. They were eating fellowship meals and everything else, and I thought it was okay. Later on, I found out that's not what we read in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. There's no scriptural authority for anyone having some kind of group singing. But our brethren are doing it today, and they are still doing it today. And these groups travel from one place to the other. I'm talking about the Lord's church, one location to the next, singing for congregations. What are they doing? They are entertaining them. That's what they are doing. And it's not going to help because it's not according to God's word. Let's move on. Let's notice something else here. Let's talk about congregations that believe in using praise teams. I'm going to show you some of them. These are the ones that I took off the website. Here's the first one. Johnson Street Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas. I hope I pronounced it right. My wife will get me after service over. So she's a teacher. The board of teachers, they're going to spot everything. But anyway, notice this, though. On their website, they say, we find justification for use of a praise team. The Johnson Street Praise Team purpose is to assist worship by teaching and edifying fellow Christians through song. Why can't we do it the way it's supposed to be done when everyone sings? Everyone is edified because of what the Bible teaches rather than having some praise team. They can sing back in Paul's time, too, and they didn't have no praise team then. Christians are passionate about worshiping God through music. He goes here, encouraged to join. That's what he says here in this text here. Also, I want you to note something else. Note they use the generic term music rather than scriptural singing. Did you notice that? Yes, that's something you have to pay attention to. But that's what these brothers are getting into today. Let me go back to that one again because there's something else I want to mention there, at least on my notes. Christians are not commanded to make music, but we are told to what? Sing. Now, I'm going to tell you what. I was in those groups, too, when they were making those musical sounds. You know, I got a pretty good little heavy voice. Boom, you know. And but, you know, when you do that, you're not edifying anybody by You're going to have to say some words to edify someone. And that's the purpose of singing, to edify, to build up in the Lord. But these brothers are coming together, and they be moving on the stage, and I'm right there with them. They be going side to side, turning around like the Temptations, everything else. No scriptural authority for that. Not found in the Word of God. And I was glad that someone brought me to the knowledge of truth on those issues because that's not what the Bible teaches. So we have to make sure that when we do things, it's done by the will of God. Well, let's move on. Let's notice another thing I want to mention here. And these things here, I kind of like hit a little bit already. Christians who are passionate about worshiping God through music are encouraged to join. They tell them that you need to join our group. Note they use the generic term, which I talked about earlier. And then I mentioned this point already. Now let's look at another congregation here. Congregations that believe in using praise teams. Well, here's another one. This one here is the Campus Street Church of Christ in Gainesville, Florida. And I stayed in Gainesville, Florida for several months as I was working in a certain place. But also, they also have some interesting statements on their site concerning praise team. Let's look at some of them. Number one, under the segment regarding requirement for being a part of the praise team, we know some statements that they made. First of all, you have to have some musical ability first. If you don't have no musical ability, they don't want you. For obvious reasons, the praise team members must have an effective level of musical talent. We must be able to carry our own part, soprano, alto, tenor, whatever it may be, while others around us are singing their different harmony lines. That is a qualification that they want. Not only that, but commitment to excellence in our personal lives as well as our public lives. Well, they got some qualification they want people to follow if they plan on joining that praise team, don't they? But what does the Bible say? That's the question I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about what does the Bible says. Well, here's another one. Here's another one. The Highland Church of Christ in Abilene, Texas, on this website under Worship Ministry, has the following statements concerning praise teams. Number one, if you are interested in participating in this ministry as a praise team singer, choir member, instrumentalist, actor, listen at that, actor, reader, artist, or in any other creative way, please contact for ways to get involved. Isn't that something? May Brown Street congregation never get to this point. May the congregation in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, the Hepburn Street never get to this point. May our faithful brother never get to this point where we're doing something like this, because it's unauthorized. We have no scriptural authority for it at all. But our brethren are doing this. They want to be like denominational churches. I'm telling you, that's what they're trying to do. And don't be surprised if congregations in this area start using instruments of music. I called a congregation several years ago to get a lectureship book from her, because I love collecting lectureship books. And I called the wrong congregation. And the fellow I called, I said, wait a minute, isn't this the so-and-so church, Church of Christ? He said, no, you called the wrong one. He said, we're the musical one. We use music, instrument of music at that one. You're talking about the one across town. I was shocked when I heard that. But some of our brethren are doing that. They're doing that today. So do they have any scriptural authority for this? The answer is no, unequivocally no. We can clearly see that these brethren are not concerned about what pleases God. They are only concerned about what pleases them. In 2 John 9, one of my favorite texts, well, the whole Bible is a favorite of mine, but there are certain texts that you read more than others. And I use this text quite a bit. And it says in 2 John 9, and listen carefully at it, please. Because some brethren don't have Christ when they think they do. Listen, whosoever transgresseth, that means go onward. The American Standard says go off onward. And abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, or the teaching of Christ, or the New Testament teaching, or the gospel of Christ, hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. Do brethren who add and subtract from God's word have God in their lives? No, they do not. Don't forget what happened to Samson when he had his hair cut. God had left him. He didn't even know it. And that's what's happening with a lot of our brethren today. God is not with them. As long as they're not abiding in the truth, he's not with them. We have to abide in the truth. So do they have scriptural authority for this? No, they do not. And they can't prove it either, even in the discussion or debate. They can't prove it. But we can prove that what they're doing is wrong by what the New Testament says. Now, there's another congregation that I didn't have time to type this information up on the PowerPoint. And this, remember the fellow I told you about when I first started this lesson? His name is Jay Gwynn. Jay Gwynn. That's G-U-I-N. He's a lawyer. He's a Bible school teacher. And I put down some notes on this paper that I wrote this morning. He lives in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. He believes in and he believes it's good to have praise teams. He says it's all right to have them. He said at first he thought it was silly to have a praise team, but now he's joining with the others. He's jumped on the bandwagon. He also believes it's okay to sing during the Lord's Supper. You ever had that happen before? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is going to sound strange to you, brethren, but when I was in institutionalism, we sung during the Lord's Supper. Now, how can you sing and meditate at the same time? When you take the Lord's Supper, you're going to meditate on the Lord's Supper. It's a memorial. But we were singing at the same time. It's kind of hard to do that. But he believes it's okay to have songs or sing during the Lord's Supper. And so I asked, where's the meditation? He also wants the praise teams to sing alone. Now, watch this. If the praise team sang alone and you're sitting in there listening to them, what does that sound like? That sounds like you're being entertained by this praise team. That's what it sounds like. That's what it's going to lead to if brethren are not careful today. He also wants the praise team to sing alone. He says, but it sounds like a choir to me when you think about it. And this is nothing but entertainment. It is not scriptural. Now, I also wrote on my notes when I read this, you know, preachers, when the red flag go up, preachers start writing. And I wrote this. There are problems with this praise team. Let's notice them. First of all, obviously the effort is to please men. Would you agree with that? If it's not scriptural, isn't it pleasing men? Paul said he wouldn't please men. Number two, it's a slippery slope to choirs and instruments. Sooner or later, that praise team is going to have instruments. And I saw it today on the internet. And I was so ashamed looking at it. These brethren using instruments, and they got the name Church of Christ written on it. And they're using instrument by five or six of them up there. And they got the group in front of them with mics in their hands, praise singing songs while the congregation listened to them. But the slippery slope is what it's going to end up leading to. And it's a slow crawl before you start running. And that's what it's leading to. Instrumental music. And then instead of better singing, many sit back and they listen. So they just being entertained. What about women leading in the praise teams too? That's what they're doing. And so I asked this question. Is this leading one to God's word? Is it according to God's word? What about worship? Don't you know worship is not to entertain us? Worship is to please God. We're singing to please God. We're not singing to please somebody else. Here's this praise team up here singing these songs. And everybody's moving in their seats and swaying and clapping their hands. That's another subject I'm going to preach on this week, is hand clapping in worship. Because that's what some of our brethren are doing now. Yes, sir. I watched them on the internet. When the preacher was preaching, they were clapping their hands. And I said, you know what? There's no difference now between them and the denominational church. But is this leading one from the word of God? Yes, it is. Praise teams, is it for God or men? Worship directed by God, but not for man. Worship is directed to praise God and to give homage to God. And that's the point about it. That's why John 4:24 says, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Turn to Revelation 21 real quick. I'm going to show you something else. This is what was told to John. You know, John wrote the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and he wrote Revelation. He was guided by the Holy Spirit as he wrote these things. And in that 21st chapter, it talks about in that verse how that he was about ready to worship an angel, but the angel told him not to do it. Notice verse number 9, Revelation 22. I said 21, I meant to say 22. 22:9. Then saith he unto me, see if thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship who? Worship God. What did Jesus tell the devil? Worship God. What are men supposed to do today, those who are members of the church? Worship God, not men. He deserves it, no other man. We don't come here to be entertained. We come here to learn God's will so that we can worship him correctly. I got a few amens tonight. Thank you. Don't feel bad about it. I'm just playing around. But not when it comes to God's word, though. And that's a shame. And that should make us feel ashamed that our brethren are doing this, getting away from doing the things of God. Now let's turn to the book of Colossians chapter 3. I got only two more PowerPoint slides, and I'll be finished. I hope I ain't getting through too fast. If you say preach a little longer, I can do it, too. But let's go to Colossians chapter 3. We got a little bit more to go, and then I'll be ready to wrap it up. I'll be listening. Now, in Colossians 3, this text is familiar. Now, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16 and Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19, they're parallel scriptures, really. They're just about saying the same thing. But since I told you to turn to Colossians, we'll read that one first. Look at verse number 16, please. Here's what it says. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching. And that teaching means edifying or building up. And admonishing, when you admonish someone, he says, one another, not to a congregation, by the way. Did you see congregation there? Did you see group singing there? No, you did not. You see, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. There we go. I got 5 minutes. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing with grace. Now, the word grace there is, of course, we know grace means unmerited favor, but that's not the meaning of that word there in that text there. Gracefulness to God is what we do. And God deserves it with thankfulness. He deserves that. And that's the way we need to do it. Now, from that scripture, I wrote down this. Because sometimes brethren question things. Like, for instance, what is a hymn? He said hymn. Well, you need to go to the book of Psalms for an example of hymns. Well, what is hymns means singing praises to God. That's what hymns mean. I got that confused. Psalms are the songs we find in the Old Testament that were written, the 150 Psalms. Spiritual songs, by the way, these are songs with a spiritual background, teaching of things, dealing with things, or learning and learning God's will. And really, that's what it's dealing with when you're singing those kind of songs. We have to make sure that our songs are scriptural. We just can't sing anything. When I was in the singing group, we and on job corps, that is, before I became a member of the church, we used to sing, I saw my mama swinging on golden gates in heaven. Well, I know good when my mama ain't swinging on golden gates in heaven. Nobody going to be swinging up there. So that was an unscriptural song. That was something that was not authorized by God, so I had to stop singing it. There are some songs in these books that you have to be careful with because you can't sing them. They might be a song that you can sing, but they're not scriptural songs if you want to do what God says. Y'all ever heard this story about this preacher and the bear walking? He was still have been in worship service, but he was walking in the forest. Because just because a song has God in it does not mean that it's a spiritual song. You have to examine the song. But anyway, this preacher was in the woods. He was walking through the woods. All of a sudden, a bear came out, and he saw the bear coming at him. So the first thing he did, just like I would do, is run for a tree. So he ran for this tree. He said, Lord, he started singing this song. Lord, I know that you blessed Daniel in the lion's den, and I know that you delivered the three Hebrew boys. And he went on and on. He delivered Jonah from the belly of the whale. He said, if you don't help me, please help me with this bear. And this just was a joke song. That's what some try to make of that. The point I'm making is, God, you can use God for anything. But if you're going to do it scripturally right, it's got to be the way God wants it done. And this has to be by his authority, or it's not going to please the Lord. So let's remember Colossians 3:16. Now we'll get ready to wrap this lesson up here, and I'll bring out this point here. What does the Bible teach? What does it teach? We ought to speak to ourselves, teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns. Singing is intended to instruct and admonish each responsible member of the audience. Singing is a powerful tool for teaching and encouraging people to follow the Lord. Songs that teach or encourage error must not be sung. We can teach error by singing as well as preaching it directly from the pulpit, so we need to be careful. And then we learn also the apostles command singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That's what we need to do as Christians. There's no scriptural authority for praise teams anywhere in God's word. There's no scriptural authority for it. So do we use instrumental music? Yes, we do. But it's not with mechanical instruments. The instrument that we use is the heart. Two things are required for singing and making melody in the heart. And there's no authority for praise teams in the New Testament. No way, no way if we can find it anywhere in the Bible. So that makes it wrong in the sight of God. And I showed you these scriptures earlier. Praise teams is just another form of entertainment. And those who use and promote the use of praise teams seek to please man, not God. And that's what Paul said he was not going to do in Galatians 1:10. And further, the use of such is a step in the wrong direction, as it leads to further unscriptural practices, solo, choirs, instruments of music. So, brethren, I hope you gained something from this tonight. We have no scriptural authority for praise teams. It is against the will of God, and you don't want to do it. And there are many today who still do it. I won't be surprised they have some in this area that do it, that have praise teams. No scriptural authority. It reminds me of this story about this, just to show you how wrong they are. It reminds me about this salesman that went out in the country in Arkansas. Hope I can finish this. He went in Arkansas to sell vacuum cleaners. He went to this woman's door and knocked on her door, and he took a whole bucket of dirt and threw it all over her float before he said anything to her. And this woman looked at him like he was crazy. He said, ma'am, don't worry about that dirt. He said, if my vacuum cleaner don't lick up every speck of that dirt, I'll lick it up with my tongue. She said, you better start licking because we don't have no electricity out here. And that's what some are, that's how some are when it comes to the God's word. They say things they can't prove from the Bible. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that.